Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
The Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 481st episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my speculative co-host, we've got the fluffiest Whimsicott.
Howdy, yo.
And we've also got the one and only R Sigma.
Howdy.
And welcome to the show where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game. We call ourselves Puckle, or the Pokemon Underground Champions League. It's a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. And we have a good time. We just talk Pokemans. We talk about what we're up to, what we're doing. So I did beat Pokemon Conquest this week, the main story.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice. You pushed yourself.
It wasn't that bad. It's not that bad. I think I would say if you're playing like at a casual pace, it's like 13 hours.
I was going to say, it's probably not bad. I just chose to try to find everyone's like perfect sync pair.
Yeah.
Through.
Well, the problem is they like reset it afterwards when you're done if you want to go do any of the side missions. So who cares?
If you do any of the side missions, once you recruit them, they still have the same things you recruited with them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you do it like a casual playthrough, you're talking like 13 hours, I think, just to play through the game, which isn't bad. I mean, that's a nice short like main story. There's definitely more side missions to do.
Yeah. There's like another hard mode maiden quest eventually, but you have to do X number of side quests, which is awful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It's all right. It's all right. It's a good game for what it is. I do realize it left me like lacking. Like, there's definitely places where you can see like, oh yes, this game definitely came out in 2011 or 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yeah, okay, quality of life updates are a thing that have happened, and I would have liked these. Here and here, but overall, it's still a good game. Like, the gameplay is good.
Mm-mm.
But it's also a tactical RPG, and look who you're talking to, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
it's a tactical RPG. It's just like, oh, yes, Thatch, do you enjoy Fire Emblem? Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of that, with the Direct this week, they came out with that, like, Project Triangle or whatever. And I was
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's like Fire Emblem, but Octopath.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm intrigued.
I like the art style.
Yeah, I like the art style in Octopath.
I don't.
Well, we can agree to disagree. I think the art style in Octopath is pretty. I like it as a modern spin on pixel art.
Yeah, it's like nostalgic, but also
new
at the same time.
Yeah, so. It's like it's pixel art, but you can tell they put a little bit more work into it. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, yes, we just made sprites. And we called it good. No, we took the time to like actually make a graphics engine to utilize those sprites a little bit. So, I mean, I like it, but I'm also like, one, I really like the nostalgic feel of sprite work.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play old Pokemon games just for sprites. Sometimes. Because sprites are cool. I like sprites. And then, I don't know. I'm excited for that one, though. I'm legitimately excited for Project Triangle. I'm also, despite what everybody says, excited for Skyward Sword. And I mean, that's more nostalgia than anything, I think, though.
I'm kind of excited for it, too.
I think the story is strong.
I want to play without motion controls.
Yes.
I want to play without motion controls. I want to see how they fix it, because there are definitely issues with it, so hopefully they
address
some of them.
No, there's a lot of quality of life issues in Skyward Sword. And I think, one, the controller option, I think, is just being able to play with, like, buttons is good.
Yes.
And then as long as they fix like a couple of the menu issues and stuff like that, I think it'll be fine. And they have a history of doing that with the remakes.
Exactly.
Doing with the Zelda remakes. I am very excited for that.
A lot of the complaints I see is about price, and it's like,
yeah, okay, but okay, they complain about everything though.
So I think I finally realized what my problem is, and it's the fact that the rest of the world still has those vouchers, and we don't. And that annoys
me. Oh, that is annoying. That's true.
It's like, you know what fixes my issue with the price? Those vouchers, and we don't have them anymore, and everyone else does. And it's like, oh.
I mean, I'm not upset about price, mostly because it's Nintendo, and Nintendo can set their own market value, essentially, right?
I mean, that's not wrong. It's just that, like, when you're paying $50 for the game digitally versus $60, it's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the digital version should always be cheaper than the physical version.
Mm-mm.
And that's never the case. because stores run sales all the time.
Exactly.
And you can go pick up a physical version super cheap.
It's the reason I own a physical version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I will probably continue to buy digital versions only because of convenience. I will pay the upcharge for convenience. But I also realize that I'm in a financial position where, like, I don't really care for $10. Like,
yeah.
And I know that's a problem for a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be here and be like, oh, well, it's not a problem for me, so it shouldn't be a problem for you. And, like, I completely understand. If you want to save $10 on a game, more power to you. Go buy the physical version. As long as you're playing it and having fun, who cares, right? I don't care if you buy it physical or digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the clutter that was, like, the 360 generation for me, I much prefer digital at this point. It's like, oh, it's so nice.
I prefer digital just because especially with the Switch being portable, it's so nice just not to have to carry around cartridges.
Yeah.
That's the part, like, that I'm all for. I'm just like, I don't want to carry around cartridges, and that's where it ends. And so I'll just download things.
Yeah.
Switch first came out, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get digital for multiplayer games because being able to switch to those whenever I want is a good thing.
That's a good idea.
It's like, oh, no. Oh, no. This is just super convenient and I love it. So it's
yeah.
Like, okay, I'm just getting digital for everything.
Yeah. No, I like started buying physical. I don't remember the last time I bought a physical game on Switch. And I talked my wife into buying digital as well. Because she was like, oh, I think I'm going to buy the physical versions. I like having the case and everything. And I'm just like, okay. And then after a while, it was with Pokemon that I think that that's really when, like, it switched for her with Sword and Shield. And I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to download it. And she's just like, why are you downloading it? I'm like, then I can just play it at midnight without, like, worrying.
Mm-mm.
Right? Oh, it's so nice.
I can just play it at midnight without having to, like, go to GameStop and sit in the cold. Because they make you go outside eventually, which is dumb.
I mean, with Pokemon, I'm playing when it releases in Japan. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-mm.
For the same price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely dumb. There's a little bit more hassle buying it on the Japanese eShop because you have to, like, go get Japanese eShop cards, but there's hassle.
PlayAsia makes it easy enough.
Or you can just pretend you live at the Astronomical Observatory in Sydney, like I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked into doing that. I mean, you could do that very easily, I think, on the 3DS. It's easier to do it on the 3DS than it is on the Switch.
Not anymore.
Really? Okay, because I tried looking into how to do it on the Switch. I was like, oh, maybe I just go Australian instead of going Japanese. And it was so much harder for me to get Australian eShop cards to pay for it.
Yeah, no, you'd have to use, like, your credit card instead of finding eShop cards.
It wouldn't let me use the credit card.
It liked mine, so I got lucky.
Yeah, maybe it's because you're European.
Probably.
Yeah, it wouldn't let me use my... just like, this is an American credit card. What are you doing?
Same with PayPal. It's like, oh,
yep.
Can't you make this a little easier, Nintendo?
Yeah, you have to make, like, a Japanese PayPal.
I made an Australian PayPal, but the Australian PayPal had to like my European credit card.
Yes.
That wasn't obvious.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so dumb. To avoid the hassle in the future, I'm just going to go ahead and just buy my games through the US eShop, and I'll just wait till midnight.
Nah, I'll go back to PlayAsia for some more Japanese eShop cards at some point.
Maybe if Diamond and Pearl comes out. The only reason is I know that Nintendo was, like, starting to smack people for playing it before it came out on Twitch.
That was so dumb, though. Like,
yeah.
It's out.
It's out in other countries.
The worst part is they're hitting people who live in those countries, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Just hitting the Americans that are buying it early, and there's no reason for it.
It was really dumb. I didn't like it, so I don't want to, like, risk that or anything. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I might take that day off the day it comes out now, too. I have vacation days, because I can't go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lots of vacation time for Thatch. It's going to be a good, just take a day off, have a good time, and party. Anything new with you guys while we're here? And we've talked about buying Japanese and Australian games.
So I'm taking part in the UUTC.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent over a week, like, actually, like, breeding a team and preparing and training online. I got to Master Ball rank. And then I got solidly beaten by Hoitku and completely destroyed by HDM. So I guess, like, Puckle people are way above the level of whoever you're matching up with on online BSS. Because, no, that wasn't, like, no.
I would say the cream is thinner relative to the body in BSS online than VGC.
Yeah.
That's how I'll describe it. Like, it's like the proportion of people playing BSS versus the people who are good at BSS is a much larger differentiation in BSS than it is in VGC. In VGC, like, you might start to see some good people when you're in tier 9 and 10.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And in BSS, I don't think you see anybody good until you hit Master Ball.
Yeah, I was very surprised by how easy it was for me to get to Master Ball after months of not playing the format.
Yeah, because a lot of people just want to jump in and play, you know, a singles format with people on Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
And that's not something that, because that's the way they play the game. And maybe they should accommodate for that online Pokemon.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's just me. It's just a thought.
Maybe.
Just a thought. Just throwing it out there, TPCI. Just throwing it out there. I don't know. I don't know. It's what it is. Oh, all right. Well, we got some news to talk about. So let's kick it on over to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. Pokemon Day is next weekend, so we obviously don't know everything that's going to be announced this week. Their announcements throughout the week will be happening. So I do look forward to that. I assume we're not going to hear about any kind of mainline game until, like, near the end. And even if we do, I feel like we're going to get titles and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll hear too much else. There's not going to be, like, a trailer.
I think there will be a trailer.
They've surprised us with this the last few times, though.
Like, no one thought Gen 8 was coming when it showed up. It's like, oh, okay.
I think the reason I think the way that I do, because, one, this is the quote-unquote, like, off year in the generation,
right?
Where if it is Diamond and Pearl remakes typically don't get announced before May. They totally will.
Yeah, no. In the past, they've cut into sales of the game that just came out 3 months earlier. This time
that's true.
Oh, the game came out.
Oh, no, I think the model they have now is fantastic.
Yeah, so they can announce it on Pokemon Day, not feel bad.
No, they should. Yeah. They really should. The thing is, also on the 20th anniversary, they didn't really announce Sun and Moon. They just kind of gave us the logos for it, and that was kind of it.
Yeah, but Gen 8, they went, all out.
Sun and Moon were, a bit of a rush job.
I would say the last two generations of Pokemon have been a rush job, but that's a hot take.
Fair. No, I think that's fair.
The marketing was at least good for Galar at the beginning.
I like Sun and Moon's marketing. I thought it was really good, okay? And that might just be because I like Hawaii. I thought the marketing for Sun and Moon was really, really good because we had that series of videos where, the kid was playing Pokemon with his friends.
Yeah.
Like, those were so good. We should have more of that.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I remember tearing up at some of the Gen 7 trailers, including the very first one. The music was amazing.
They shot a lot of it at the Waikiki Strip, and I was like, I've been on that bench.
Yeah.
all right. So, in celebration of the 25th anniversary, however, there's going to be a Gigantamax Pikachu raid from the 26th to the 28th. If 1 million people defeat Pikachu, everyone will be able to receive 100 Armorite and 100 Dynamite Ore, March 2nd through March 15th. That's kind of exciting. That's exciting. I will join in that. We should stream that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe you're green, Whimsicott. You're green today.
I am. So I'm here to tell you that there is a Shiny Toxtricity event available right now for players in the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, Italy, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands. And it's usually through GameStop or whatever your like local GameStop equivalent is. And if you're in the US, at least, we're not sure about anywhere else, you can use the Pokemon Pass app to get the Pokemon from outside the store. You're going to get your code. So it's safer.
I think you have to have the QR code that you have to scan to.
Or something like
that. Oh, no. Yeah. No, it's dumb. It's dumb. That said, you can get like infinite codes.
The only time recently I was like, yeah, let's go to a GameStop was because those sweet Zelda Joy-Cons were coming out. And my wife was trying to pre-order them, but GameStop ran out. So no pre-orders. Yeah, I'm a little worried about getting those because it's going to be nasty.
Yeah.
But anyway, this event runs until March the 15th, so maybe you can like find a good like downtime to go there when there's not people around, possibly.
Yeah. But there's also accounts that are like tweeting out codes, I think, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-mm.
So you can get them. You get 3 per scan, and also if you have an Android, you can delete your cache for the app, and you can rescan again and take more screenshots. Oh. So it's very easy to like just farm codes and give them to people if you want them.
Yeah, but I said, there's like Twitters that are tweeting out like a ton of them. So I think you'll be okay. You don't probably have to go.
That's a lot better, a lot safer for everyone. Oh, I appreciate those accounts.
I assume it's a GameStop employee that's just sitting there because nobody's probably coming into the store. That's what I imagine. That's my thought.
Yeah, like it's fine to go to one of those accounts in the pandemic because Also, Pokemon Pass is not the greatest way to do distribution, so.
I don't think making us go to stores to get event Pokemon is a good way to give away event Pokemon. Hashtag hot take.
I honestly was mad when I heard that it was in physical stores.
I mean,
absolutely.
I assume money exchanged hands, and that's why it's there.
Yes. yes. I mean, shocked Pikachu face. What? Pokemon Company likes money? What? Who would have thought? all right, let's move on to video game battling news, though.
Okay, so Series 9 has been announced because it turns out Series 8 is not very popular. If you look at the Pokemon Home app, there are 100,000 less players right now than there
really?
Were last.
Wow. Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, there was like 250,000 when I checked on Monday versus like 350,000 last
month. Okay.
Granted, it is only half or two-thirds of the way through the month. Maybe those numbers pick up, but yeah, no, that's probably why they announced it so quickly.
Just people do not like any flavor of the GS Cup whatsoever.
Wow.
To be fair, like, you can watch the numbers just lower down and down and down from season to season, so.
Well,
it's like,
that's fair. The game is less new, so.
Yep. Like, there's a peak when the DLC comes out, and then it just drops again, and it's like, oh. So, yeah, we're going back to Standard Series 7, which is a little sad. I would have preferred, like, a ban list, but that'll be our Summer League format, so yay.
It's easier to do Summer League with the full roster, so that's nice for us.
Yeah, it's better when we don't have to figure out a legend for a type.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
very true.
It would have been nice if we hadn't had, like, you know, if I would have brought Zacian to the fairy gym and now everyone knows how to destroy Zacian. So,
everyone brings it up.
That would have been very much fun.
Also, there's a competition coming up this weekend. You get 50 BP for participating, and all it is the current Battle Stadium single.
It's so boring.
Yes. You get one restricted Pokemon, and it runs over next weekend. I don't understand. I don't understand.
I mean, I miss the competitions that we have with, like, fun rules. I think part of it is, again, because, like, not all the Pokemon are present in the game, because you can't build fun metas without everything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we used to have the fun, like, oh, you can only bring Pokemon that are, like, red, green, or white in the Pokedex.
Yeah.
It's the spooky cup.
Yeah, the spooky cup. Dude, I love all of those. And that was the first thing I thought. That was one of the first things I thought when they were talking about Dexit. I was just like, oh man, we're not going to be able to do those, because the reason those worked was because there were a bajillion Pokemon to choose from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the Pikachu EV Cup. That one was.
Yeah,
fun.
Exactly.
You can't do that anymore because
no,
Pikachu still has Light Ball and EV doesn't have anything.
No, it has nothing. It does not have a Z move anymore.
It has a disappointing GMAX, and yes. We don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Pokemon Go news, the favorite part of the show for most people. This is actually exciting because they decided to make Pokemon that are hard to find the Community Day Pokemon again.
Yeah.
And so Fletchling has been announced as the next Community Day Pokemon on March 6th from 11 to 5 p.m. local time. I like these extended hours, by the way, for Community Day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're great. You don't feel stressed to go out.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Three times catch experience, and you can give them $1 so you can feel like you won Community Day.
Mm.
As always.
You have a better chance of getting like high IV Fletchling if that's something you care about, but it's a Fletchling, so it's probably crap anyway.
Yeah. It's still, yeah, so I don't know why. At this point, I'm just like, oh man, I could just transfer it to Pokemon home and then use it there. And then I was like, but I could just breed. I could just breed one.
It's yep. a bad shiny.
Yeah, it's also a very bad shiny. You are absolutely correct. In the generation where they're just like, hey, let's start making good shinies and craft individual shinies,
Talonflame
they're just like,
still awful.
Talonflame is still awful.
It has Iron Man colors. That's not so terrible.
It's pretty bad compared to like Black Aegislash over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than Garchomp, and that's about it.
And Regice.
Well, tell us about the Pokemon Go Kanto Tour, Sigma.
Oh, the Kanto Tour has started as we are recording this podcast, and there are a bunch of things that you can get from it. If you spin a Pokestop, you get 9 free raid passes.
That's a lot.
There's a box with 3 free remote raid passes, as well as one that you can get for free that has 200 Pokeballs. Unfortunately, you do need the inventory space to have those 200 Pokeballs, so good luck with that without spending money.
Goodbye, berries!
I was going to say, I don't think I've had 200 space in my inventory.
I don't remember the last time it's happened.
Time.
Yeah.
If you evolve your Kanto starters, they will know their community name moves if you evolve them during this event. And there's the big research to get the shiny Mew if you paid for it.
Doesn't that require like level 40 though?
Not in the first 2 missions, but we do know it does require it eventually. We won't know what it'll actually include after level 2 without data mines until a month from now, because mission two has you have to catch a Pokemon daily for 30 days. So,
this sounds disgusting.
It'll be a while.
Oh, I don't like this. This is bad. Can you still buy it? Could I buy it right now if I wanted to?
I don't know. I bought it already, so.
I haven't opened Pokemon Go in literally 5 months. All right, so moving on to some raid days.
Yeah, there's a raid day on the very last day of the month, February the 28th, and it features Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres, which are also featured this week for the Kanto event, so whatever. But Giovanni does return with a different Shadow Legendary Pokemon, and there's going to be a free remote raid pass box.
Ooh.
So that's something.
Please be Ooh. Lugia. I believe in you, Pokemon Go. Give us Shadow Lugia.
Shadow Lugia and like using the version from XD would be the most hype thing they could possibly do. I think.
I mean, after the disappointment that was Mecha Mewtwo, I would be down for Shadow Lugia.
Shadow Lugia is such cool art that they haven't utilized properly. Do you know who designed Shadow Lugia, by the way?
James Turner,
yeah. Mm. He designed Shadow Lugia. He calls it his baby.
It's a really cool design.
It's a cool design.
I like it.
I mean, yeah, it's a really cool design. It's a really cool idea. I mean, XD and Colosseum were both very well thought out in terms of concept, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm upset that we don't get to go back to that. I would love for the 25th anniversary, like here's some remasters of that or something like that.
Hmm.
The games are grindy, but I would love to see some kind of remaster like that. Granted, I don't think all the Pokemon that are in those games are in Sword and Shield yet, though.
I was going to say, let's get Gens 1 through 3 first, and then we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that all those Pokemon are in Sword and Shield yet.
Let's get Gens 1 through 3 on the Switch, because I think they're fine. You can just throw them up. I do feel like they should probably go for either the Game Boy Color or like the Super Nintendo Super Game Boy version of the game.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I think they should absolutely get something. What would be even better is something like the Dodrio Tower type version, where you could increase the speed.
Yes, that would be lovely.
I think that's what you do.
They're not going to do it.
They're not going to. No, we just talked about something that would be great to have. Why would we get it? All right. On that note, though, that's all the news. There's no Puckle news to really talk about. I think we might try to record the show live next week, though. Also on Twitch next. So because it's Pokemon Day, right? So let's like be hype on Saturday, right? So yeah. Next Saturday on the 27th, I'm throwing Seth under the bus already. Oh, no, he did say he just told me he's OK with it. Literally just now. We're going to go ahead. We're going to start a stream at like 8 a.m. Eastern next Saturday. Thatch is going to go going to wake up at 6 a.m. He's going to go run on his treadmill. And then he's going to shower, and then he's going to come upstairs with a bowl of Pokemon cereal, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to do a couple-hour watch party of season 6 of the Pokemon anime. We'll get through the first few episodes. It'll be a good time. We'll have a good time hang out, which is going to be fun in and of itself, I think. We're going to watch that, so we'll probably get through like 4 or 5 episodes. Then around 10 o'clock, we'll switch over to the podcast, and we'll record the podcast live. I have Linian and Seth next week to talk about what happened throughout the week for Pokemon Day. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that. I've decided. So twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, be there or be square. And then maybe afterwards we'll play some Pokemon and kill some G-Max Pikachu.
Ooh, yeah. Sounds like a fun Saturday.
Yep. On that note, we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Thanks to Mark from the Dunsparce Gang for giving us that intro. So if you guys are ready, we've got the questions. So our first question this week is going to be from Shark Finnegan. He asks, what is the only fairy type Pokemon that can learn fly without being part flying type?
Not Whimsicott, I can tell you that right away.
Well, it's part flying type, so it's fine.
Okay, without being part flying type, it can learn fly, it's a fairy type. Tapu Koko, I want to say?
You know what? Maybe.
It learns a lot of flying type stuff, because it's a bird.
Yeah, because it gets Brave Bird, so I wouldn't be surprised if it had fly, and no one knows, because, like...
You would never use fly.
Yeah, if you were running Z-Crystal, you were using Brave Bird.
Although, maybe some people would use it now. What else could it be?
I don't know.
Spritzy and Aromatisse kind of look like birds.
No.
But I don't see that happening.
Would it be a regional form? Is the only one Rapidash, and that's not... That's
yeah,
not
why, they sadly. Didn't give it the sadly. Wings that we all wanted it to have, so...
Disappointing, by the way.
Very disappointing. Right?
It's okay. We'll get Mega Rapidash and Mega Galarian Rapidash soon.
Yay!
That won't happen. Stop it.
So...
Like, I don't think it's going to be like Rabombi, right?
That's actually a fair point.
I'm going to need an answer.
Oh, gosh. I was sure it was Tapu Koko, but Rabombi is an excellent answer. And actually...
No, it's not. It can't fly. It's so small. It's like the size of your finger.
Pidgey gets fly.
Yeah, but Pidgey's Gen 1.
Fair.
Rhydon uses Surf in that game.
I don't know.
Things don't make sense.
Do you want to say Tapu Koko or Rabombi?
Yeah, I'm fine with saying Koko. I have
to. Okay. Let's go with Tapu Koko.
Tapu Koko is correct. He's a chicken. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
He is bird without being bird.
He is bird. It's... He is bird without being bird.
He's bird type.
So that is one for one. No.
It's like Tapu Bulu being a bull. It's fine. And yet being in 0 of the Chinese New Year stuff.
Yeah.
All right. This one is from Gliscor Gamer. Which type did not have a mega evolution introduced in Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So, not electric, not dragon.
Not grass or water.
Not fighting or psychic.
In Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, by the way, not the X and Y. So you have to discount the X and Y ones. Okay.
So here's a question. Do you think it's... No, Camerupt. Camerupt was introduced.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you think it's Fire because Blaziken was in the one before?
But Mega Camerupt was... No?
Dragon has Sceptile.
Yeah.
And depending on which way you go, it also has Altaria if you want the Pokemon that wants it Mega Evolving. Does it have a dragon that mega evolves into a dragon? Yeah, Salamence. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's fine. Which also blocks off flying.
Mm-hmm. I excluded electric, but...
Actually, is it electric?
Manectric was before.
Manectric was XY.
Ampharos was XY. What other mega...
There's Audino, so...
Yeah. What other electric-type mega evolutions are there?
What about Ghost?
Ghost?
Because there's Banette, Gengar.
Banette, Gengar. I can't remember, like, any...
Like, Poison, there's Beedrill. Dark, there's Sharpedo.
Yeah.
So I think it's we probably got it down to electric or...
Yeah. Ghost. Sableye got it.
So it's probably electric.
Yeah. Because I can't think of any other electric-type mega evolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably electric because they got them all done in X and Y.
I think so.
Do you want to go with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Electric is correct. Mega Manectric and Mega Ampharos are the only ones, and they got those both in X and Y.
One of those is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Manectric's not bad.
No, Manectric was good. Manectric's
not bad. Was good. Ampharos was fashionable.
Yeah, I hope they come back. I really want Megas back.
Yeah.
It's such a good mechanic.
I love it.
It's so much better than Dynamax.
Yes.
All right. This question is going to be your Pokedex question, as always. So you get one. If you can't get it, you get a second entry. And each time it reduces it by a point for a possible total of 2 points if you get it on the first try. So this one's going to be from Zaskary. It's Omega Ruby entry states... It's extremely cautious. It quickly bounds off whenever it senses danger. Who's that Pokemon?
Can you repeat it, please?
That's a really bad one. Why did we let this one through, Liger? It's extremely...
That could literally be anything.
It's extremely cautious. It quickly bounds off when it senses danger.
Bounds off. That's a weird verb to use.
It is. It makes sense.
That's what I'm focusing on. Bounding, like
something that bounces, maybe, or
look, so bounding is like quickly walking away, like bouncing, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm leaning like maybe Zigzagoon.
I think most of its Pokedex entries state that it's curious and it always moves in a zigzag line, so it's not cautious, it's curious. It bounds away.
I don't think we're getting it on the first one.
No.
C-Dot. Maybe C-Dot.
Ooh, I actually like that.
C-Dot walks weird. I'm going through the Hoenn.
Or maybe... No. It's a bunny. It has to be a bunny Pokemon.
Oh.
So maybe something Buneary? Like Buneary. Yeah, it has... It's alert to sound because it has those big ears and it bounds away.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's like Meryl. Or Azurill.
Azurill's Pokedex entries very often talk about the nutrients in the tail.
Okay. So yeah, we can go Buneary.
Yeah, I like Buneary. Let's go with that.
I'll give it to you for Buneary. It's low punny, but it's close enough.
Okay.
So you guys got 2 points. That one. I'll give it to you. Its second entry that we had was its shield entry that says... Once hot seasons are over, this Pokemon's coat will be replaced with fur that holds a lot of insulating air in preparation for colder weather.
Yeah, that one.
That's even worse.
Nope. Yep. So you guys are at 4 for 3. Your next question is your multi-answer question. Both of these have way too many answers. So we're going to go with the one with the fewest number of answers. There's only 2 points possible for this question.
Mm-hmm.
There are 5 total answers. You get a point for each of the first two. You get 2 strikes.
Okay.
You have to lock in every answer with me. This one's from Trevster. Throughout all generations, which 5 naturally poison-type Pokemon, not like Arceus and Kecleon, can't ever learn Toxic?
Poison types that can't learn Toxic.
Poison type that can't learn toxics through all generations.
So we're going to jump up to Gen 8 real quick.
Yeah.
And do you think Toxel and Toxtricity learn toxic?
Good point.
Do we think Eternatus learns toxic?
Good point. So I'm thinking Toxel maybe not because it's a baby.
Okay.
Toxel. But you want to lock that in?
Yeah, let's lock that in.
Toxel is correct. That is locked in, yes.
Good job.
That is one of the five.
Want to go Eternatus too? Because I feel like Eternatus might be okay.
I mean, we have two strikes, and I trust you, so yeah.
Eternatus.
That's a strike.
Okay.
Wow, he learns toxic.
He learns it, yeah.
Okay, so Weedle and Kakuna get very, very few moves.
They do not get TMs, so.
Exactly. And I don't think that toxic is in their level up moveset.
No.
It's possibly not. Ever. So I would like to say one of them.
Sure.
Okay, Weedle.
That is correct. That is two. That is a point.
Good.
So hear me out. Cascoon. Is Cascoon a poison type?
I'm not even sure if it is. I think it is.
I don't know if it's a poison type because it's a Cascoon.
Exactly. I'm not even sure that it is a poison type. That's really bad. So I'm thinking that
I don't know the answer to that question either. It is not. It is not a poison type. It is pure okay. bug. It is pure bug. Okay. For all of our curiosities.
I don't know if I don't know why I would know.
Okay, so that's Cascoon. Does that mean Silicoon is also just pure bug? I need to know now.
Yeah, because
it is.
Mind evolves into a flying type at least, so it makes sense.
So Cascoon just isn't poison type. That's so weird. I always thought it was.
Right?
Wow. Okay, right? Continue.
Okay, so Kakuna might also be a possible answer, but...
It is.
That sounded weird when he asked which one we wanted to lock in.
Because I need you to lock in Pokemon, not because I'm trying to get...
Okay.
Don't read into my thoughts.
Yeah, we'll lock in Kakuna.
Yeah.
Kakuna is correct. That's three. There are two more. You do have the hint, by the way, as well.
Do you think it's Toxtricity?
It could be. Let's give ourselves a few seconds to think of anything else that is poison type and completely useless.
Are there any other Gen 8 poison types?
I want to say...
Oh, can Galarian Weezing do it?
Oh.
Because it's about purification, not poisoning.
Hmm.
Oh, wait, because you can have a coughing that can evolve into it.
Yeah, and coughing can have it, yes.
I thought that was a cool thought.
Yeah, that was a cool thought, though. Like, something tiny that's a poison type, but it's a baby.
The thing is, like, everything that learns TMs back in Gen 7 and before learned toxic.
Exactly.
That's the issue. So that's why we have to look at Gen 8, because...
Does Poipole learn toxic? Yes, I assume.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. It has a giant needle. It has
exactly.
To I'm gonna need answers.
Okay,
let's try Toxtricity.
Yeah, let's try with that one.
Toxtricity.
Toxtricity is unfortunately incorrect, and that's gonna end it for you guys because it's your second strike and you're out.
That's okay.
So the two you were missing, and you're gonna kick yourselves: Galarian Slowbro and Galarian Slowking.
Oh. Yeah.
Other poison types up there. Okay.
Yeah.
How does Slowking not get it?
He doesn't. He doesn't get it.
Weird.
Yeah. Weird. You were right with the logic, though, with the TMs and everything. So you were very close.
Yeah.
So you only got 1 point for that question. So unfortunately, you're only at 5 for 4. But you can still cash in the hint for the extra point because you got the question correct by some technicality.
Okay.
All right. And so your next question is your base stat question, as always. And it's going to come from... Shark Finnegan this week. What fighting type Pokemon has the highest base speed? I can't believe I read that.
Fighting type? Yes.
I can't believe I read that.
Has what? Isn't
so
that Feromosa? 151? Is there anything that's faster?
Yeah, it's faster than Mewtwo X, right?
I think so. Zacian is slower than that and not a fighting type. Zamazenta is way slower than Zacian. Deoxys is a psychic type. Yeah.
It's not a fighting type.
Yeah. I'm just, it seems so obvious.
Electrode's just not a fighting type either. Exactly. So like,
I'm sorry.
Neither is Ninjask. It's fine.
I was literally thinking, what could possibly be faster than that and not coming up with a single fighting type? That was my reasoning.
It's okay. I think we can just lock it in.
Yeah, okay.
It's not Mega Lucario either before we try to go that.
Faramosa is correct with the base 151 speed stat. Zamazenta is actually the next fastest.
Oh, I believe that.
138. Then Mega Lopunny at 135, Mega Mewtwo X with 130, Meloetta Purette form, and Zamazenta crowned at 128.
That's a weird thing for Meloetta to have.
Yeah, It's very fast. It's very dumb. But that gives you guys a total of 7 points today. Seven.
Oh, cool.
That's a good chunk of points. So let's see. That does change up the standings. And because everybody else is like barely on the board except for you two. So we have Whimsicott with 25 points in first place. So race to 30, remember. So we're almost there.
Sorry.
Sigma is in second place. I still have to send you that box anyway. It's sitting right here. I'm looking at it.
Oh.
And I keep forgetting to send it to you. So maybe you just win and then I'll just send you more stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like it's worth it at this point.
And then Sigma, you're in second place with 12 points. Sublime is in third with 10. Linian in fourth with 8. Seth Vilo and Claude Nine are tied for fifth with 6 points, and P. McKee and Jushiro are tied for seventh with 5. Shamu and Basket have yet to get on the board. All right, so if you want more PokeQuiz action, tune in to the podcast next week or on the stream. We will kick it on over now to the topic. Don't forget to check out the Puckle YouTube this week to catch another extended mailbag. We have a few more emails to get through, so be sure to check it out, Puckle Podcast on YouTube. On to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is the future of past legends. I like that title. We're going to keep it. That's a keeper. Sigma came up with this one. We're going to be talking about legendaries and how they can use past legendaries and spice them up. Kind of like they did in Crown Tundra is really the reason to think about this. Because we got the Galarian Kanto legendaries.
And the new Regis.
And the new Regis, which I thought, so it's two different ways to spice up old legends, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I guess this has kind of also happened in terms of like Kyogre and Groudon as well, by giving them their primal forms, and I guess Rayquaza kind of with the Mega.
And Mega Mewtwo then.
Yeah. So my number one worry is that they're going to Meowth it, and they're just going to be like, Kanto Bird 7 times. How many different Meowths do we need? I can't wait for Gen 9 to have a regional Meowth. It's going to happen.
I like regional Meowth, though. Meowth is fun.
I think at this point it would be a good gimmick. I would fall into the Meowth regional gimmick very easily.
If you can have a Pikachu clone every generation.
Yeah, no, it's like a Pikachu clone, except it's a Meowth clone, and it's just a Meowth.
Yeah.
I like the regional Meowths more than I like Glammeow or Skitty. So.
Okay, so you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Like, you're not wrong.
Or Purloin, even. Like,
I really like the use of regional Pokemon in general. It's done very well in both Gen 7, despite its flaws, and Gen 8, despite its flaws. Didn't like that they hid split evolutionary paths from us, but it makes it harder to accommodate things like Berserker. Like, I like Berserker. Berserker is probably one of my favorite Gen 8 Pokemon. I think that doing split evolutions like that, it gets complicated.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, and so I don't want to go much further with that concept than they already have, right? What would have been cool is if they would have given us like another slowpoke evolution. That would have been cool, like an additional one.
You're not wrong that we didn't need a Galarian slowpoke. We could have just had regular slowpoke evolve into two new things.
I really dislike the way it evolves too. It feels very lazy.
It's like, oh, it's essentially an evolution stone. Cool.
I'm just not a fan of Galarian Slowpoke's evolution method. I thought they would come up with like a cool way to do it.
I do like their designs though, and how useful.
Oh, the designs are cool, and like they're both really good in. Well, not I think Galarian Slowking more so than Slowbro, but
Galarian Slowking is good in OU.
Yeah, it's good in OU. They're like Slowking, Slowbro cores are a thing.
Galarian Slowbro, I think, is a fun enough meme that I'm okay with it being there.
I like both of them. I think they were both done very well. In terms of legends, though, I would love to see more. I think you could pull it off with the Gen 2 legendary beasts.
I had an idea about that.
Okay.
Add a psychic and dark.
No, actually. So I love the story of the legendary beasts, that the lightning struck the tower, it caused a fire, and then the rain put it out. And then took, you know, the three Pokemon that had died in the event and made them into legendary beasts. So what you can do is have another catastrophic event in another region, and then Ho or another legendary does the same thing. So I thought, if an earthquake causes like a chemical or nuclear spill, and then the plants soak it up and restore the environment, you can have a ground poison and grass trio, which is also like a perfect type triangle, by the way.
Well, the original ones weren't a good triangle. They weren't a good type triangle.
Which is why my idea improves upon them. So if you do the parallels, you would essentially have a ground type regional Raikou. A poison type regional Entei and a grass type regional Suicune.
Yeah, but hear me out. So Suicune's the purifying Pokemon. Why not make that one the poison one?
Because it's the last one in the story and it's the one that cleans up everything.
I think you could also pull the Regi treatment off with them very easily as well.
Yeah.
Because what they did with the Regieleki and Regidrago, I think you could very easily, because the legend and like the fan theory, which I'm sure Nintendo likes to, or Game Freak, I should say, likes to grab the fan theories and like confirm/not confirm them.
Mm-hmm. Feed them a little bit.
They just go, maybe it happened. Maybe it didn't. But the running theory is that it was the Eeveelutions, Vaporeon, Flareon, Jolteon that died, and they were brought back as Raikou, Entei, and Suicune. They could very easily like make a psychic a dark one to add on to that. I mean, you could theoretically go and add like five more, but I think if you started off, you just do dark and psychic.
You do psychic and dark, because those are the other sisters that are in that town already, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that would be interesting, I think.
Yeah, so mine is an original variant, and yours is an addition. They both work?
I think both would
either
work.
Either way could work for them.
I would also like to see regional Lugia and Ho-Oh.
Lugia?
Yeah. I'd like to see that. You give us the water Lugia that we've always needed.
Yeah.
Fairy Ho-Oh, that could be fun.
Oh, yes, man. That'd be great.
Amazing.
I think what you do to make them not like super hype, but okay, is you go, hey, that's a fire fairy Ho-Oh, and this is a water psychic Lugia.
And give them both levitate. And you don't care that they have levitate because they're flying.
Maybe you give them levitate. Maybe. But I think that would be the fun way to do it.
Serene Grace Ho-Oh with the Sacred Fire 100% burns.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, let's not. No. But I would love to see something like that where they kind of just like play upon that a little bit more. I still think that what they did with the Kanto Legendaries was really good. I do wish that they would have made their signature moves more like Hawlucha's Flying Press, where they did both types of damage. I would have liked that.
It's kind of sad that they went hard into, no, these guys can't have their original elements as a attacking move.
I think only because they did that, it was their balance, though.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Ice-type using Psychic Articuno? That would be kind of insane.
I'm just complaining because, like, every flying type gets Icy Wind and Heat Wave, except these guys.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't. Zapdos got the coverage.
If you look at, like, an old Alolan Ninetales, it didn't keep any Fire-type moves to, you know, deal with the Steel types. So
I mean, Ice is such a different type, though, right, than Fire? Whereas they still kind of look like their element. Moltres is looking like it's on dark fire still.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
did you see that the shinies have the colors of the original birds?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
yes.
looking forward
it's
to those.
So cool.
Yes.
One day we'll get those. One day we'll get those.
Yeah.
They look like they're perfect for an event of some sort.
Mm-hmm. I think it would also be, I mean, they could have also just taken their signature moves and like made them their old types as well. That would have been fine with me. Like Fiery Wrath could have just been a fire type move instead of a dark type move. Like give them one move of their old element, you know? You don't have to give them
like
Thunderbolt or something.
Rotom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Rotom where it's just like, yeah, here you can use an electric type attack, Zapdos, but it's this one and that's the only one you can use. So you're still limited in some fashion.
Yeah.
But you still
it's
have
like
your
you're
old
stuck
type
with this one.
I think they would be too good though at that point. Honestly, if you give them too much coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
For as much as like we poop on Gen 8, like they did a very good job balancing competitive. Like a very good job. I can't think of anything that's like super broken with the competitive in Gen 8. It's just, it's done very, very well.
I mean, I'm sure people would argue for Durmanitan being broken.
In Pokemon's official formats, I would say no.
I agree. Darmanitan
is in Pokemon's official formats, the formats that they probably actually balance for, no.
To be fair, next gen, I could see Darmanitan being a problem. In a world without Dynamax, where you can protect against it by going big, and it's like, oh, okay, I can survive the hit and KO back.
Mm-hmm.
When that goes away, maybe Darmanitan's too good. We'll find out.
I don't know.
Although part of the reason that it's so good, it's Dynamax, because you get out the choice bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like, other legendaries that you could spice up. You can make Mesprit and Fam.
Those guys, they need something.
They need something forms to be not bad,
They need something. Yeah.
Regional forms would be great. Megas. Mm-hmm. To give them different types, because, you know, Gen 4 had to give us 4 levitating psychic type Pokemon, and only 2 stand out.
Yeah, not even 2. Cresselia stands out.
I mean, Cresselia and Azelf stand out, right?
Azelf doesn't stand out, I don't think. I don't think it stands out.
It's Azelf always been an okay suicide league. It's been a fine suicide lead, because it's offensive, while the rest are kind of defensive.
Mm-hmm. And it's fast.
Yeah. It's got 115 speed.
I don't know. Like, I think with the remakes probably coming, it would be cool to see something happen with those three.
Yeah, those three need it the most, because Cresselia is right there.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't get fairy typing. That's they should have gotten fairy typing with the retcon.
But they are about the mind and the emotions, and that's psychic type to a T.
Yeah, you could have just been more Gardevoir.
So you add the fairy type. That would be fine, yes.
No, you don't turn them fairy type. You just make them fairy psychic.
Giving each of them like a secondary type would be amazing for them.
All of them having just a different secondary type to differentiate them from
Azelf
each other.
Azelf would get steel, and Mesprit would get fairy, and Uxie might get normal, dark, ghost. Mm-hmm. Ghost, because it's knowledge.
Yeah.
Ooh,
psychic ghost.
I like
could
it.
Be
See,
fun.
That's all they have to do. The regionals, we're not going to get that in a remake, but.
No, but it would be really cool.
Yeah.
We'll get regional versions of.
We'll get another regional Meowth.
No, I was going to say Thundurus and Tornadus. Oh.
It's Sinnoh Meowth.
Why are these Pokemon based on Shinto gods in the American region? That never made sense to me.
Which one? Are you talking about?
Thundurus?
Oh, those guys,
and
yes.
Tornadus. Fujin and Raijin.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
It felt like they were meant for Sinnoh, and they just ran
out
of the room and they pushed them.
They
back,
absolutely
right?
were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like how the Three Musketeers felt like they were more perfect for Kalos, but. Yeah. But they were in Unova for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was really weird.
Yeah.
So there's another legendary that I thought it would be fun to have added to the game.
Okay.
Which would actually work well in like a sequel to Sun and Moon or, you know, somewhere else, because every island in Alola has its own guardian, the Tapus.
Oh.
But technically, there's now another island in Alola. It's an artificial one, the Aether Paradise, but it's there. So what if a new, like, fairy steel type Tapu is created to be the guardian of Aether Paradise?
Please, no more steel fairy types.
No more steel fairies, please.
It would be, like, tiny and useless, but it should be there because of the lore. It would be so cute.
It's just Magearna.
Make it a normal fairy.
But it's an artificial island. It should have to be steel.
I was really hoping Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon was going to introduce us to like the rest of the islands in the Hawaiian Islands.
Right.
And we were going to get
a couple more Tapu.
We were going to get like a couple more Tapus for these other islands.
Yeah.
That never happened, and it made me sad. And I think they should still do it.
Yeah.
That's where my thought started. Like, there are more
fairy
than 4 islands in Hawaii.
Yeah, there's 8. I think there's 8 that people count.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of islands. It's whether they count.
There's 8 that people go to.
Fair.
And even then, like, one of those 8, they don't really go to. They don't really go to those. It's, I mean, you could have, like, an ice fairy. You could have had a water fairy and, like...
You have a water fairy.
Oh, yeah, we had a water fairy. Oh, my gosh, I'm a dummy.
Oh, wait, we have Tapu Pini. Darn.
Ground fairy would have been cool.
Ground fairy would have been cool. Fire fairy is what we all need. Volcano Tapu.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't Rapidash Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I just used Rapidash as a verb. Way to go.
it's okay.
I'm going to look up these islands. Because I think there's like 8 that people... I guess on the map, if you look at like an overview, no, there's like one, I'm going to count from the sky. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. 7. There's like 8 big ones, big in quotes. You've got mm-hmm. big Hawaii, you got Maui, you got Oahu. And then the other one that I always forget that are like the 4 big ones, but Kauai, that's it. One of them only has like 100 or some people living there. So that's, I completely understand. And I mean, the population does fall off very quickly. Like, yeah. After you go to Kauai, it's like 66,000 people live there, and then you go to Molokai, and I'm probably saying this wrong, and Linnea will lose his mind, but yeah, 7,000 people live there instead of 66,000.
It's tiny.
So it's, it doesn't go well. So maybe they were in the right to only stick to 4 islands, I don't know. I would have liked to see more islands pop up, though. It would have made for, like, a nice little story there. Oh, well. It is what it is. You can still do it. Yeah. You can still add more when they remake Alola in 20 years.
I would always be down for more Tapu. I think more is better for Tapu than different types.
I honestly don't know if they remake games after Diamond and Pearl.
I don't even think Diamond and Pearl needs remade. Well, maybe. They didn't help.
The question for me is, do you remake Gen 5? Because can you remake Gen 5 in a good way? Because Black and White 2 are their own thing. And like you can't just remake Black and White without remaking Black and White 2.
Yeah, I'd rather revisit the region than have
you remake Black and White, and then Black and White 2 is the DLC.
I think that's what you have to do to an extent. I would more argue that you should just do Black and White 3.
Or you don't even need to name it Black and White 3, right? You just...
No, you call it Black and White 3. It would work.
I thought numbers didn't sell games. It's another way to mess up the sales numbers for Gen 5, it's sad.
I don't know. I think remake / third versions, which are gone, thank God, all sell kind of in the same vein if you're not Ores.
Well, Ores got the Pokemon Go bump.
So it's artificial, but... Yeah, I think if you look at the sales numbers, though, it's very similar between third version and remake. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like a remake of Gen, like if you saw a sequel to that. I don't know. I would love just to revisit the region, like you said, and not have to worry about too much.
I would love a revisit where you get to choose where you go, like if you go Battle Roxy.
I would like to revisit it and have access to something that's not from Unova.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you remake Black and White... You only have the 156 Pokemon from Unova.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. You use the Black 2, White 2 decks. You use the Black 2, White
2 decks. Yeah, you fix it so Black and White 2.
At least.
Yes.
At least. You probably have to add more Pokemon from
Unova. Honestly, if you do like a remake of Black and White without the locked decks, you make the perfect game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Black 2, White 2 fix the decks problem perfectly.
Yeah. I think so. I agree with that. It's speaking of Black and White, and going back to the topic for Legends, because this isn't entirely about Legends anymore, but that's fine, is I would love to see the original dragon.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like seeing pieces of the truth without getting the whole truth with the Kyurem forms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
I would love to see a version where you could combine all 3 of them together and get the original dragon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that would be so good.
It would be very cool. Very, very cool. And just telling you what you should do, Pokemon. telling you what you should do.
So here's a question then. The sword trio or quadro.
You could do the same thing. You could just
forms or add them.
I think forms, because I think they're complete as a set.
Yeah, like they do well with stat distribution. I think just giving them a different form.
It could be the first time you get a regional mythical in Keldeo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Granted, he's been kind of demythicalized, like Deoxys.
Yeah.
But
kind of. Yeah.
Not as hype as Deoxys, by the way. But
there's very little telling you he's there. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Deoxys is still hype to me. Like Delta Episode is such a good idea.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Delta Episode. Mm-hmm. It got things right. Getting to Deoxys might have been a chore, but the actual battle was.
Wow.
It was hype.
Yes.
Very hype. It was hype.
So cool.
It's absolutely hype.
I have another one that is more like, I wish they had done this back then.
Okay.
Remember in Gen 6 all the speculation about the fact that the legendaries were the creatures that live on Yggdrasil?
Yes, yes.
The world tree? Mm-hmm. And there's one that's missing and everyone thought, oh, we're going to get it as a mythical, and we never did. And squirrel? It's Ratatoskr the squirrel.
The squirrel?
Yeah. The squirrel? Yeah. The squat?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, there's a messenger
Ratatoskr
squirrel.
It's a squirrel that climbs up and down the tree and essentially provokes the eagle on top of the tree and the snake at the bottom of the tree by bringing messages between them back and forth. And the messages are usually malicious because it's a malicious little beast that enjoys, you know, sowing discord and stuff.
That's great.
No, I just learned about the squirrel because, like, the newest Magic the Gathering set has Norse mythology, and there's a legendary squirrel in that set. So it's like, oh.
Interesting.
And I'm always for more aura abilities, so Zygarde's aura break doesn't seem useless on it. Poor Zygarde. Yeah. Poor Zygarde.
Poor Zygarde. I don't know. There's a lot of cool ways you can go with it. I don't want to go too far into, like, Gen 6, because I don't think Gen 6 gave us enough meat to actually care.
No.
Yeah, because upsetting. They scrapped the last games.
They definitely did. There was definitely supposed to be more there, and they just were just like, no, no.
Like, I wouldn't be against another horse in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something easy to do. It's like, oh yeah, and then we throw Calyrex on it and everything is fine.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think this is a good place to stop. I think we came up with a lot of good ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of room for emails, so.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and cut it here, and we're going to kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. So we will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 890, Eternatus, the gigantic Pokemon.
It's Pokedex entry from Pokemon Shield State. It was inside a meteorite that fell 20,000 years ago. There seems to be a connection between this Pokemon and the Dynamax phenomenon.
That's disappointing.
Wasn't Kyurem also in a meteor? I assume it wasn't 20,000 years ago.
I know that Deoxys was in a meteor, I believe.
Deoxys was in a meteor. Clefairy is said to have fallen from the moon. Minior is a literal meteor.
Yeah, Minior is not a Pokemon. That's not in the game.
Linian and I will have very strong words for you when this is over.
For Alligator's not a Pokemon either by the same logic, so it's fine.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, it's Eternatus. Eternatus is okay. I mean, Dragon Poison's a decent type, and I'm glad that we got a good Dragon Poison type.
You say that like Naganadel wasn't banworthy.
Oh, that's true. Naganadel was good. And is good. But based 140 HP, that's pretty bulky. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are Uber stats, right? 85 attack, who cares? That's a dump stat, by the way. Like 85 is a dump stat for a legend. It's really hard to think about it like that. Like 85 is a dump stat. And then 95 defense, 145 special attack. You see the dump stat thing. 95 special defense, 130 speed. The Eternatus is very okay.
Mm-mm.
Very much so okay. And I would not worry about it too much outside of that. So the cool thing about it is because it's a Gen 8 legend, they don't Dynamax because they're all about anti-Dynamax, which is really cool. I don't know how this is going to work in like future generations.
Yeah, I was very confused when I saw that because Dynamax doesn't feel like it's here forever.
Yeah, Dynamax obviously isn't here forever. So we have like Dynamax Cannon, a move named for defeating Dynamax. And yeah, so I don't know how it works in the future. I mean, it's really good now in competitive.
Can I be a horrible person?
Yeah.
The solution is, in the future, you just don't have Eternatus in the decks.
Yeah, I know, and that hurts me. I feel attacked.
Good news is, the signature move is 100 base power, just like Mewtwo's, so it's like not a big deal.
Yeah, no, it literally works out really well outside of Dynamax as well, so I'm not...
Like,
yeah.
You just remove the Dynamax text, and it's still a good move, right?
It's still a good move, regardless. It also gets a second... It has, like, two signature moves.
Yeah, it gets a Hyper Beam that's stronger than...
Yeah, it has a Hyper Beam as well. So, like, Eternatus is fine outside. It's just thinking about things like Behemoth Blade and stuff like that, which are really cool anyway, and they work really well in metas without Dynamax.
They do fine for themselves without Dynamax.
Yeah, so I guess maybe I'm not as worried as I thought I was. Yeah, so we've got Eternabeam and Dynamax Cannon. both very good moves, because Dynamax Cannon gets like really spooky too, especially in singles right now, because a lot of people are running dragon types. Base 200 stab with Dynamax, and if you're facing off against a dragon type, it's base like 600 essentially. It's a base 600 move,
especially when you're specs.
Yeah, and then your specs on top of that. Oh god, it's just disgusting. So we do have a VSS team for you guys today with that Choice Specs Eternatus, so you can feel real good about yourself. So Choice Spec Eternatus, Pressure, because it's the only ability it can have. And it's got 12 HP, probably some kind of life orb slash toxic number. 4 defense, 236 special attack, 4 special defense, and 252 speed. Timid nature, because you've got to go fast, vroom. It's got Dynamax Cannon to really capitalize on its anti-Dynamax abilities. Sludge Wave, Flamethrower, and Shadow Ball. And if you're just like, oh man, but how do I fight against Zacian for some reason? Even though this takes care of Zacian pretty wonderfully.
Yeah, you do have to predict the switch in.
You do have to predict it. Yes. I honestly, Eternatus is really good. Eternatus has been one of my favorites in BSS. And it's Ditto with Choice Scarf with Imposter, so you can beat those other Zacians to death. Because the thing that people might not be aware of is if you switch Ditto in on a Zacian that already has the plus one attack, the Intrepid Sword ability will actually activate again.
Yep.
Once the Ditto transforms, so you'll be at plus two, and you're going to be faster because you're Choice Scarf. So it you beat other Zacians very easily when you're a Ditto. Ditto like gets those hot moments for like just a second, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Ditto. Good for you, Ditto. You're doing all right. It was the OU worthy before they banned Dynamax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The little blob that could.
The little blob that could, absolutely. But I guess the team rounds out with some other things that aren't Eternatus and easy Ditto.
All right. Next up, we got Landorus Therian with the Life Orb. We're running Earthquake, Fly, Swords Dance, Rock Slide, Jelly Nature, Max Speed, Max Attack. So obviously, this is probably going to be one of your big Dynamax targets on the team. You can get up a Swords Dance and then just go to town with Max Airstream or Max Ground. Life is pretty good for you. Rock is good coverage. So
yeah, it helps a lot with Cinderace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Intimidate's just usually good to have.
Mm-hmm.
It annoys Mimikyus, though Mimikyus are annoying for you too, because like the one hit, unhit.
Yeah.
There's also the annoying things like Quagsire around to be unaware of your boosts.
Yeah. There's
Quagsire. But yeah, Landorus, just a solid mon, as usual.
He's just good.
Like, he's not broken this gen, at least. Like, he does feel worse than he has been in the past, but he's still solid. Thank you, mm-hmm. Intimidate nerfs. Next up, we have a Primarina in an Assault Vest. Max HP, max Special Defense, and a little bit of defense. So probably not going to go big with this one, unless you have to. Though, Primarina's special attack, I believe, is just massive on its own, so.
Yes.
Is it?
It probably can get by. It is a special wall, though, with an AV and max Spadef. Darn. Sassy Nature, too. With zero speed, we have Aqua Jet and Flip Turn, so that's probably why we're minus speed.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize there's a base 126 special attack. Holy.
Yeah, yep.
No, it's a really, really high special attack. Thanks, Alolan Speedtears, for giving other stats numbers.
Yeah. All those Pokemon are an eye on time.
Yeah. Scald and Moonblast is your main stabs with Aqua Jet and Flip Turn as utilities. Sometimes things live with 1 HP and need to die. Sometimes you want to switch out slowly with a Flip Turn. So,
mm-mm.
Good on Primarina.
Hmm.
I'm a bit iffy on it not using, you know, a sound-based move because substitutes are a thing. But...
They are, but it's okay.
But yeah. Since it is slow and bulky, Scald makes sense.
Yeah, like it's not here to hit things hard. It's
no.
Here to absorb hits and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe burn things.
So another thing that can sponge up some hits and hit back really hard, but this time we're making it a bit speedier, is Celesteela. It's holding Leftovers. The ability is obviously Beast Boost. It has Timid Nature with max speed, 196 HP and 60 special defense. And what this spread does is give you max speed and the highest possible amount of HP you can get while still getting a special defense boost with your beast boost.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's timid, it has zero attack IVs, and it's got protect, substitute, Leech Seed, and Flesh Cannon.
Because sometimes you want to be the stall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're Celesteela, you can afford to be a fast stall.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then to round up the Gen 7 trio, you have Incineroar. It has Blaze, it's holding a Citrus Berry, it has max HP, max defense, 4 speed, an Impish Nature, and it's running Darkest Lariat, Parting Shot, which is really interesting, Flare Blitz, and Will-O-Wisp. This is a very interesting team.
What was really interesting is it isn't Intimidate. Like that really shocked us when we saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Blaze Incineroar.
It
good
probably
for you, I
could
guess.
Be Intimidate if you wanted to change it.
It could be. I don't know. In singles, I don't know that I'm as worried, especially with you having a Lando.
Yeah, it's not as necessary when you have Landorus as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with so few Dynamax targets on your team, maybe this ends up going big.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Blaze might have its place.
Yeah.
Because you'll get, like, a slight power boost when you're weak anyway.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it working, as awful
but
as it is.
But Intimidate could work well on this, too, just because you're max HP, max defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're, like, already a physical wall.
Yeah.
That is your goal in life.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
You pivot with Dark or Parting Shot and annoy things, or you Will-O-Wisp them.
Yeah. All right. So if you want to use this team, we're going to drop it on the Discord for you guys to try out. Eternatus is my favorite. I'm just going to say Eternatus is my favorite. So definitely check it out if you haven't. This is good for like, what, another 2 months? Do it. On that note, we're going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's mailbag. So yeah, let's kick it on over.
It's mail time! Send in your emails.
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag, as always, is the part of the show where you send in emails to us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll probably read them on the show. In addition to that, it is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, we'll give the Green Tauros badge to anybody we think started a really good conversation in the mailbag and got us talking. That will give you access to the exclusive Green Tauros Club on the Discord server. We got a few emails this week. We're going to do another extended mailbag for these emails that we didn't get to. And we're going to go ahead and just read a few of them for you guys today. So if you haven't, if you didn't get read on the show, don't worry. You'll be on YouTube here in the next few days. So our first email, last week we did ask you guys what you thought about scalpers. And so our first email this week is going to be from David.
Mm-hmm. David says, "Hi, Thatch and Puckle crew. I've been listening for a couple of months now and thoroughly enjoy your content and your wonderful co-hosts, each one having their own brilliant personality. Thank you! Thatch, you're also wonderful, don't worry."
That was a joke. It was a joke. Please don't make it a thing.
Sometimes you just dig your own grave, my friend.
I know.
However, I do not appreciate disregard towards children and their emotions, especially when we all start out as these fragile little beings. It's absolutely true that we're shaped by our childhoods. There's been multiple documentaries on psychopaths. That is not where I thought this email was going. There's been multiple documentaries on psychopaths, and it is widely known that anyone can have the genetic makeup to be a psycho, but depending on your childhood, usually, not always, most of us turn out okay. Now, I'm not saying that scalping Pokemon cards will turn our future youth into psychopaths. That's ridiculous. Laughing face. What I'm saying is, if you think back to a time when you were small and pick a time you were truly inconsolable and upset, what it makes you realize is you never want this for anyone, especially your own children or anyone else's, so you do your absolute best to shield them from this pain and grief. And while it may seem stupid or ridiculous to us as adults that someone would genuinely grieve over not being able to get some Pokemon cards, it is absolutely a thing that children do. They are still learning emotions and do not have the resilience that we've achieved through multiple stages of our lives. I appreciate you for thinking that I, as an adult, have that kind of emotional balance. I do not. But thank you, David. Furthermore, you're absolutely correct that if we do not nurture and support the younger generations of Pokemon fans, Pokemon may eventually die as a brand, or, as you stated, it will ruin the interest in keeping and investing in franchise memorabilia. Anyway, my conclusion is this. While we're the first generation to enjoy and grow Pokemon to the dizzying heights it has achieved, It is absolutely our duty to make sure that future generations can enjoy the franchise that we've loved for so long, so if nothing else, they can at least appreciate it. Anyway, sorry for this long email. It's fine. Whimsicott was here to read it. She still has to pay off a lot of words that she made people say a lot of years ago. All the best, David. Well, thank you, David. This was a very sweet email.
Yes, it was very nice. Mm-hmm. I like that one a lot.
Yes.
All right. Our next one is going to be from Trevster.
All right. I got this one. Hi, everyone. This is Trevster, the late night legend, writing in. I know this week's prompt was about TCG scalpers. We all know they're bad for the game and make a bad name for true Pokemon fans everywhere. But I'm sure there's enough salt in everyone else's emails already. Instead, I want to say how much I have been enjoying the Puckle Draft League. My team is the No-Ho-Ho-Ohs, and even though I signed up on a whim, I have been having such a blast. Before I started about a month ago, I was a VGC-only kind of guy. Now I am enjoying singles for the first time. I am truly thankful for the hard work all the mods do, the Excel spreadsheets, and the documents look beautiful and are so tidy. Thank you, Ozzy.
It's mostly Ozzy. It's all Ozzy.
Yes.
The spreadsheet is Ozzy. 100% Ozzy.
He's been growing it over the years, and it looks beautiful.
It's like the combination of like 5 years of working on a spreadsheet.
Mm-mm.
Right? He gets to add a little more to it each year.
It's mm-hmm.
I love what it's become, because it's become great.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, let's continue on. So far, my favorite thing has been seeing everyone's battles each week and all the craziest sets the other players have been running, such as Choice Scarf Physical Lapras, a Scope Lens Blaziken, and Shamu's All Reggie team. The UUTC also has been fun. I look forward to playing more Battle Stadium singles matches with everyone. I want to thank everyone in the Puckle community for opening me up to the new ways to enjoy Pokemon beyond just VGC. P.S. If you use my trivia I submitted about poison Pokemon, I came up with it from doing research and prep for one of my PDL matches.
So we actually did. We did today. Remember that one about toxic?
I know. That's why we're
We did use that one today. Thank you to Liger for finding that one and not reading the emails and just getting that right.
And you're also the only one who stomped us today. So good job. Mm-hmm.
I also forgot to congratulate David. I liked his email. I read it when I read it the first time. I'm like, man, this has like arguments based on science and studies, and this is really good. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just like mention that and talk about how like I think it is incredibly important that we worry about the children not being able to play Pokemans. I mean, the card game's in a really bad place right now overall.
I mean, you can't play it physically anyway, but yeah.
But it's not about playing the game. It's about seeing a commercial on TV that they're doing a Pokemon thing at McDonald's and pestering your parents to go to McDonald's during a pandemic to get you the Pokemon thing and then getting there and they don't have the Pokemon thing because someone else bought it to make a YouTube video.
Yeah.
So much money goes into marketing, and when the marketing can't sell you a product, that's probably not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. It's just, it's really weird. It's just weird, and I don't like it, and I don't know how it got this bad. Well, I think I have ideas, but I don't think they're appropriate for this podcast. Because I think they have more to do with than just Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to Thatch's Politics podcast. But that's a show that we're going to... Patreon only, right there. Thatch's scary worldview. Okay. This next one is from a new writer, I believe. Academic J. Greetings, wonderful Thatch and co-host. I have not written an email since school started back up, just because teaching music during a pandemic virtually to students that do not speak English has been quite challenging.
Wow.
But rewarding. I just got nominated for Educator of the Year in my district, so I must be doing something right. Well, that's good. Congratulations. Woo! Yay! I know this email will be a week late, and that's all right. I don't think it's a week late. You sent it last night. We usually record on Saturday. You sent it on Friday. So you're doing all right.
Perfect.
You got it on time. But I wanted to say that while scalping is terrible, I agree the Pokemon company knew what they were doing throughout this ordeal. I'll discuss that in a minute. The bottom line is
that distributors have an issue during this time too. So
yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. The bottom line is they wanted to make money, and TCG is selling out faster than anything else right now. That's probably why Charizards have been in almost every set. Well, yeah, they've been doing that on purpose.
That's on them. That's on them.
That one's on them. 100% on them. I also believe that this is why they chose to do the trading card game, trading cards for the McDonald's toys. They've done that several times. So.
Yeah.
Usually it does okay.
Yeah, we have our nostalgia with plastic toys, the gold collector coins, and other figurines. Those are memories that I will not trade, but the Pokemon Company opted for cardboard rather than other options. TVCI knew about the scalping and the shortages before releasing the McDonald's cards, and they also knew two other sets dropping around the same time, so I believe they're feeding into it because this benefits them. Thanks for reading, Academic J. So, yes and no, I think trying to boil down like supply line issues is just like, oh, they don't care, they're just trying to do what blah blah blah, isn't the best take. I agree that it's an issue, but I think it also, you have to think it's going to take time to also increase the scale of product, right?
Yeah, because they're producing it like a couple months in advance.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So one, the cards are all pre-planned. Like I would assume it's like 9 months to a year before the cards actually come out. Cards are planned. And so that's already before all the scalping started. This current set was already planned. And they were they've been planning for this 25th anniversary for over a year. Remember when they leaked the cards accidentally in one of those other sets?
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw, what, a Chimchar?
Yeah, we saw a Chimchar that's in the McDonald's set.
And that was way back in September.
Yeah, so we saw that way
back.
That's
how long these cards have been printed.
Yeah, they've been thinking about this already. So I would say that the supply line adjustment hasn't been able to be made yet until recently. And they announced that they were actually this past, the week before last. That they were going to be reprinting a lot of other sets and just upping the supply line. And this is probably also something after they already decreased the supply line because they expected a fall in sales because nobody's playing physically.
Mm-mm.
Like, nobody can predict Logan Paul going and, like, creating a Pokemon bubble.
Yeah.
No.
Right? Nobody can predict that. And, I mean, it has become really disgusting, like we said last week on the show. It's become really disgusting where Verbank City on... First, they already named it after a toxic gym, which I think is hilarious, but
I mean, they know they're on Facebook.
They know
what's up.
They know. And so I think it's I think it's really interesting just watching how it's turned, because it used to just be people like talking about deck lists and stuff like that, and now it's very much just turned to Pokemon investing hour over there. And it's really frustrating to see, because there's more to the cards than that. There's more to the fandom than that. And if you're just investing in Pokemon cards, like, this isn't Magic.
No.
You know, Magic is Magic, and Pokemon is Pokemon. And Pokemon, like, the TCG in Pokemon is just, like, a supplement to the fandom. Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that entirely, because that TCG tournaments are really big.
Yeah. TCG tournaments are always bigger than the VGC ones. Like.
Yes. Well, that's because you have to play in person to do that, and I think VGC does a very... I think VGC...
Viewer-wise,
VGC does much better.
Yeah. But player-wise...
Player-wise, TCG does better. That's very true. Much better. Much better, by the way. We're talking, like, 5 to 7 times larger.
At least a 5x multiplier or something. It's
like 5 to 7 times larger.
It's like 200 VGC players show up, 1,000 TCG players show up.
Yeah, like. I've seen it even worse than that. I've seen it, like, 200 VGC players, and then you get, like, 1,400 TCG players.
Yeah, no.
I've seen stuff like that. It's crazy.
Those TCG players are giving them a lot more money than those VGC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, if you go to the tournaments, most of the like entry gifts that you get are geared towards the TCG players more so than the VGC players. Like, I'm always upset when I go to play VGC at an event and then they're just like, here's a hat. And like, if you play TCG, they're just like, here's a cool playmat. And it's the same price. And I'm always a little bummed because I'd much rather have the playmat than the hat.
Yeah, no, back before I started playing VGC, I believe it was like a one-day event that was like for the people in TCG who bailed out day one or whatever is what it used to be. So,
yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I don't know. I wouldn't. But again, I wouldn't blame TPCI exactly for this right now, because they probably planned to scale back and then it exploded. And it probably takes a little bit to get those supply lines going again.
Especially given the situation. So
yeah, I mean, this all happened very rapidly and it accelerated at an exponential level. Like, it just really exploded, especially right now. That's why, like, Shining Fates is impossible to get, especially for MSRP. You're not getting it for MSRP. There's no way you're buying a Hidden Fates Elite Trainer box for $50.
I tried yesterday on Pokemon Center. The site died for a little bit. It showed available, but couldn't add to the cart for about a half hour, and then it was like, nah, it's out of stock. And so, yep. Thanks, bots.
Yeah.
Thanks, bots.
It was really bad. It's just really, really bad how much the people are like going after these cards. And I mean, it I don't know, it hurts me a little bit. Because like, yeah, maybe I want to collect them, you know? But at the same time, I'm not going to do that if it means that like some kid can't get it because I'm driving up the market value or something.
Yeah. And
I just want to open a couple packs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to hoard them. I just want some of the product.
Yeah.
Some, not all of it.
Yeah, and people just want to go buy it so they can resell it. Because I'm sure, like, right now, if you go on eBay, they're probably, like, $120, $150 bucks.
I believe single packs are, like, $12.
I've seen them yeah, let's look at it.
Yeah, they're, shiny like, $12 Fates. To $15 or something like that.
Shining Fates. The Charizard's up for, like, $700.
I believe that.
So, I found that. Somebody's selling the Pikachu box for $45.
Retail, $25.
Retail, $25, exactly. That Charizard's everywhere. You can buy an Elite Trainer box for $70. That's actually not too bad.
That's not awful compared to the $50 retail price.
$60 tin for the Eldegoss V.
$30 tin, cool.
Yep, $30 tin. Yeah, it's just, yeah, this is gross. I just like everybody that's making this a thing. You're just punching this value up, and it's really frustrating.
And it's artificial.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, this is going to come crashing down. Like, once COVID's over, I'm sure this is going to crash down. Or maybe once product is increased. It's just going to not go well for them. Like, I can definitely see that happening. I don't know. It's just gotten bad. It's just gotten really bad to the point where people are stalking the delivery driver. And it's just bad.
They're tracking distributors at, like, targets.
Yep. It's really bad. I hope it comes to an end soon. I don't know how you stop it. I honestly don't know how you stop it. Thankfully, I'm not in the position to be the person that has to, right?
Right.
All I can ask is that everybody tries to please be reasonable. Please be reasonable. Please be kind to your fellow human being. On that note, though, Green Taurus badge. I personally want to give it to David.
Me too.
Sure.
David, you get the Green Taurus badge. You can come and join the Green Taurus Club. If you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week, the best way to do it is through our Discord. Go to discord.gg/whatever the numbers are. In the description, or you can boost us up for Nitro so we can get the /Puckle podcast. And so other ways you can keep up with us. One, subscribe to Puckle Plus. Puckle Plus has all of your extra cool shows on Thursdays. What's this week? Last week was TCG Cast. The week before that was Battle Cast. This week is Game
Corner? There's a Trivia Rewind, and there's probably going to be a Game Corner dropping at some point this week.
Okay, there we go. Done. And then, of course, we've got... more things you can do. One, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram. You can also, of course, follow us over at YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast to catch things like the extended mailbag. I think we're going to do another round of Puckle Plays very soon. Mm. I'm very excited for that. Yeah, I'm very excited for Soul Silver Puckle Plays.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. I'm excited for that. I want to do that. Probably starting in March. We'll start that in March. Let's give that a date to that. It's going to happen in March. Hmm. First week of March. First video. Boom. Did it. I set a date for myself, so it has to be done.
Oh, I look forward to the Whitney massacre. Oh.
Oh, no. Whitney and Soul Silver is hard, because she... Melting is scrappy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that dumb? Isn't that dumb?
It's cruel is what it is.
It's dumb. All right. And so, on top of that, if you want to check us out over at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, I'm going to start a Pokemon Platinum Nuzlocke this week on Tuesday, so be sure to check that out.
Mm.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, and I know they're doing something else on Thursday. I forget what. And then again, on Saturday, I'll be back, and we're going to do some watch-alongs for Pokemon Season 6, which is going to be really cool. We're probably the first 4 or 5 episodes of that before we record the podcast live, so make sure you're there, twitch.tv/PucklePodcast, the Puckle Podcast. And of course, if you want to help support the show, best way to do it is to either subscribe on Twitch or go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. Throw us a few bucks. We need to do those giveaways. I keep forgetting to put the post up. It's usually me and McGee, and we've been dropping the ball. But there are going to be some Pokemon giveaways later this week, and I think I'm going to try to run them 24/7 so everybody can hit them. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and call it a podcast. I've been Trainer Thatch.
I have been the Fluffy Swimsicott.
And I've been Arsene.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.